Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think, honestly, the July daycation, a prime play, right on a Wednesday, it was nice, spent some time, rode some roller coasters at Cedar Point, good time, road sirens cursed, no, I did not get suspended in the air for 30 minutes, let's just get that out of the way now, but it had a good time, it was fun, it was ridiculously hot for not being ridiculously hot, it was humid, it was wet, and I was only there for like 6 hours, and I got to ride just about everything that I wanted to. So, successful day, a good break in the middle of July from the middle of the week, and now we're back, and now we have plenty to talk about. Certainly fun. Jack's roller coaster guy, right?
Oh, yeah, big roller coaster guy.
So, Siren's Curse, no question. You'd ride it.
I was a little scared, but I think I'd ride it.
Would you have a problem? Would you ever ride it again if you got suspended in the air for like 30
Probably
minutes?
Probably not.
No, that would do it for you?
I'd be 100% out after that.
See, I don't know if that would do it for you. It'd be kind of like...
Having to walk? No.
No, that's a bad time. I will say, though, like, the first, like, 3 minutes you're up there, probably kind of funny and cool. The last 27, probably a lot less fun. Where you're like, I'm being held up by the vest right now, and I'm just dangling over the edge. Probably not as enjoyable of an experience. Probably I got to get your land legs back a little bit after that. You're like, I'm not touching the ground at the moment. I don't like that. Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy it very much, especially not that long. I was there for like 3 minutes. I'd be okay. Incredible ride, though. Top tier. I mean, it's like it fits alongside the rest of the top rides at the park. But just some really cool aspects. I mean, obviously, the tilt part of it really cool. Also, the onboard audio that you get, so there's actual sound playing out of the speakers right next to you, adds an entirely different experience that you don't get like anywhere else in the park. Feels like it almost doesn't fit in the park, but in a good way. It's like, oh, this is different, but actually more enjoyable as an entirety of an experience than everything else. So that was good. Enjoyed it. Had a fun time. Glad to be back. Glad to be talking stuff with you guys. And for the first time in like 3 weeks, glad to be talking Guardians. Right? We had the two wins, but now a sweep of the Houston Astros. And I mean, I'm not going to go as far to like ask the question, are the Guardians back? Right? Like that's the layup right in front of you. Is it true? And I think we can all probably assess that three wins after 10 losses doesn't really constitute you being back on track and ready to roll. But I do think that there's going to be some kind of almost misconception alongside of it, because it's going to feel like the Guardians are back. And it's going to feel like the Guardians are back leading into the trade deadline, which I think is a very dangerous thing that we're going to walk into, and something that we've discussed slightly, right? I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was us and it was Anthony. We were sitting here having a conversation. It was when I called the West Coast trip the most important trip that the Guardians are going to have and the most important games that are in front of them. And I still hold true to that. Like, I still believe that West Coast trip was vitally important, because although it was way more severe than I expected it to be, you knew that playing the first place teams across several divisions all in a row was going to be a brutal stretch. Like, yes, you feel good coming right now off of three wins, but when you look at it as a totality, going 3-10 over 13 games is a really bad stretch of baseball. But you can also take a look at the Guardians' schedule, and you know that, of course, coming up, know, tonight and moving forward, your schedule gets a little bit easier right before you head into the All-Star break. You play the 31-62 Chicago White Sox. For the love of God, you better at least win the series. You might drop one. You better win 2 out of 3. But everything else leading up to the deadline is where you start to look at it and think to yourself, well, they might actually just play really good in this stretch, but not because they're a better team, but because they play the likes of the White Sox right now into the A's, the Orioles. You finally play the Royals, who are a mediocre team who can't hit the baseball, into the Rockies. And then, oh, by the way, welcome to the trade deadline. Like, you play some of the bottom teams across Major League Baseball leading into the deadline. Which we have to get ahead of this before it starts tonight. The Guardians are going to look like they're playing good baseball for the stretch of the next 2 weeks. I mean, really into 3 weeks. But it's going to be, I think, have to be taken with a grain of salt when you think about where this team's heading. Because there's a good chance that they're right around 500 or above 500 at this rate when they actually head into the deadline, and you're thinking to yourself, well, can they be competitive? Can they be a team that should go for it? And if you're in the mix in the wild card spot, the obvious answer to you is going to be yes. The team can be competitive. They should not sell. I think the problem that you're going to walk into is the Guardians are probably still going to sell. And I can already see the anger from a mile away, from fans, from I'm sure people on our station, watching this team go and play and then go, well, hold on. I mean, you're right in the thick of it. Why would you completely get away from it right now? It's like, guys, they beat up on bad teams over a stretch of games. They're still the same team. You can rewind it back before the 10-game losing streak. They're going to be somewhere around the same team that they were before it, which was right around a 500 baseball team. Sure, you might be able to slip into the playoffs. That's great. Doesn't get you any closer to winning next year. And I think this is where, legitimately, they're going to give us false hope. They're going to get everybody excited by probably winning a lot of games against bad teams, getting you into the feeling that, hey, the Guardians might be back, and then something like an Emmanuel Clase trade is going to come along, and you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not going to help us win this year. The offense has finally turned it on. It's like, no, you've been facing awful pitching. You haven't been hitting off of a solid group of guys for the last month. This is not a scenario where you're actually playing high-level baseball all of a sudden. You haven't flipped a switch. You just flipped over your schedule where you looked at the dramatics most likely from one side of the spectrum all the way to the other, of the best teams in baseball to the worst teams in baseball. And, okay, you can give me false hope, but I know what that leads to. You're going to get people's hopes up with winning games just to then be sellers, and we're going to have to do this thing all over again. We're going to have this conversation when likely the back half of the season, no matter what they do in this stretch, is going to be focused on Chase DeLauder, Juan Brito, hopefully at some point. I know the hamstring's bothering him right now. And potentially CJ Cephas. And you might be looking at a couple of other younger guys. You know, if you move somebody like Clase, if for some reason, some way they moved Stephen Kwan, you might be looking at somebody who could be solid coming up and actually having playing time. But this team is still going to sell. This is not a good baseball team. Great sweep of the Astros coming off of their own sweep of the Dodgers. Don't know how you pulled that one off, but pat on the back to you. The team actually looked like they could hit over the course of 3 games. But it's why that we're going to watch leading up to August 1st, and I'm going to be sitting here and basically not taking a ton away from the day-to-day. Sure, I want to see players, and I want to see these guys progress and get better, but in the grand scheme of things, I just don't think that there's a real chance for it. I think the Guardians are going to do what the Guardians typically do, which means you're not going to see this team, quote-unquote, sell. It's not going to be a fire sale at the deadline, but you're going to see them move off of guys probably like Carlos Santana, potentially Lane Thomas, if anybody actually wants him at this rate. And you're probably going to move off of, you know, one of the other guys, whether that's Clase or somebody else that they pick out to deal. Those are going to be the moves they make, and they're going to keep everybody else. It's not going to be a fire sale. It's not like they have a ton of pieces to move off of, but this is where they're heading. And when you went on the 10-game losing streak, when you didn't perform out west, you sort of sealed your fate. Like, that was the time. That was the pivotal time over that course of, what, 19 games that you played between the West Coast trip and the bad stretch of baseball? That was your time to make a statement and a claim. Here's the team that we are leading up to the deadline. everybody in the Guardians front office should be able to look at this schedule and know exactly what's happening. You're going to see an uptick in production. Like, it's great to see Jose back and hitting off the Astros. I mean, he had a home run in each of the three games. Yeah, it's great to see Jose back. Okay, well, it's not like the offense goes as far as Jose goes. I mean, to a degree, yes. If he's not playing well, they're probably not playing good baseball, which was evident of the way that they had played. But it goes as far as the younger players are willing to take you. With the effort that they're willing to put in and the product that they get out of it is about how far this team will go, because that's the majority of what it's built off of. And right now, sure, great three wins, but you're not getting much farther than that. I don't think this team has a chance to actually flip their season and become, oh, well, maybe we have to go for it. Maybe we get to a spot where we have to be buyers. I don't think that's on the table anymore. I think they threw that away weeks ago. But I'm interested to see if you guys think the same thing, because I could be sitting here telling you one thing, but it might be the course of a season. They say we played good enough, played bad against good teams, good against bad teams. That might be good enough to get us into the playoffs. I just don't really think so. And even if it is, okay, congrats. You got to the playoffs by holding on to Carlos Santana, by holding on to Lane Thomas, by not trading away pieces that we're going to make next year better. And you're in the exact same spot that you are this year heading into next year, except maybe a couple of younger names to actually be excited for. But you start the rebuild process, the process of trying to get back on track all over again and struggle next year. I'd rather go through those struggles now than later. 216-474-0092. Can the Guardians actually change their fate from here, or is it all smoke and mirrors, plus a key decision made by Jose Ramirez that at least indicates he wants something? Whether or not it's the right or the wrong choice, it's up to everybody else to make that decision. You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake's doing you to our social media reactions. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty to get to tonight. The Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to get to Get a Grip at 9 o'clock. And later on in the show, we'll get to Change Your Mind and, of course, react to the Guardians once they're started and all wrapped up. But right now, 216-474-0092. Can the Guardians actually change their fate from here, or is it all smoke and mirrors if they're beating teams at the bottom of the barrel? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Bad teams, because again, if you missed it, the Guardians leading up to the trade deadline. You have the White Sox before you get to the All-Star break, and then coming out of the All-Star break, you play the A's, the Orioles, the Royals, and the Rockies. Those are just bad baseball teams. Like, everybody outside of the Royals is like near bottom of their division, if not the very bottom. I think they might be the very bottom of their division. That's not good. It's a really bad spot to be, and I mean, for other teams, like, you're going to just mow down wins, but it feels like it's going to be this sort of back and forth of looking at the Guardians and saying, okay, well, sure, you're winning games, but who are you beating? Like, you're going and beating bad baseball teams. If you get back to 500, if you get above 500, it's not like you did it by playing competent baseball necessarily. And maybe they do. I'm not saying that just because you play the Orioles and the Rockies and the A's that you can't play good baseball during that period either. Like, I don't want to just throw out the fact that, like, they looked really good against Houston. They were hitting the ball. And, I mean, you get, like, premier performances from guys like Slade Ciccone. No knock to Slade Ciccone. I mean, he's been incredible this year. But you don't expect him to go, you know, seven innings and mow everybody down. Especially while your bullpen's not living up to speed, and then your offense is actually producing runs and getting you to the four-run mark to help you win games. Like, it was not in the cards following a 10-game losing streak. But that's a good win, and they played good baseball over those three games. A pat on the back to them, genuinely, for that. But it's going to be a lot less of, all right, well, even if you're playing good baseball, you're not being tested. You're not going against other teams who are playing good baseball. So I think the Guardians ultimately, like, I think their fate is sealed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Field. It is going to be looking at it and they say, all right, well, we have sort of what we have here. We're probably going to sell off the same pieces that we were when we were on the 10-game losing streak as we are right now. We're going to do the exact same thing, handle it the same way. And I think people are going to be mad looking at this team going, how could you sell at this record? And it's going to be because of a stretch like this. Again, 216-474-0092. I'm going to get you guys in on this. Can the Guardians actually change their fate leading up to the deadline from here, or is it all smoke and mirrors? Let's go to Nelson in Avon Lake. What's going on, Nelson?
What's up, Jake?
Nothing much, man. What do we got?
Good topic today. You know, I think we've seen enough this season to know what the Guardians are, right? Mm-hmm. It's a 500 team at best. You know, this next stretch before the All-Star game, it'd be like gobbling a whole bunch of stats on garbage time, right? Because you're going to be playing teams that are below you, not as good as you. And what does that really mean, right? And the goal is to win it all. And you know, the Guardians have such a finite, like, you know, small window to maximize the talent that they have, you know, available to them, because they cannot outspend their competition, right? So I think, to me, it's time to put Class A, you know, Trey Class A. I probably will get, you know, hate tweets for saying this, but, you know, if you get a decent package for Quan, I would even consider that. And it's time to pivot from the strategy that the front office has had for many years. Like, baseball has changed. Like, we're not in 2010, 2015. And then you need to bring up the kids that are on the minors to see what you have go forward. So to me, I agree with you. I think this season's done. I think, you know, last year was a magical season. We loved it. We enjoyed it. It was terrific to get to the ALCS, but we know what this team is, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yep, appreciate the call, Nelson. I think that's exactly what it is, though. And I think this team in this season is going to be more about looking at your Cafes, your DeLauders, and your Britos, rather than, all right, well, what moves can we make to make this team competitive again? It's a really hard thing to balance. I mean, truthfully, even while they were playing well over the last three games, you still have a lot of questions. There were still spots in the lineup. Like, they rolled out an absolute roll-me-over lineup. I don't remember if it was last night or the night before. It all kind of blends together. But the bottom of the lineup had, I think, one hit still. Like, under the four or the five spot, it was still one hit. It's still the top of the lineup producing. It's nothing different. They just actually came through and produced. Like, you got good games out of Quan and Jose and some of the other guys that were up there. I think Angel was hitting at the two at that point when he hit the solo homer, and he had a decent night. It's just, all right, you sort of see everything that's in front of you. You saw them play baseball, even at the beginning part of this year when they were sort of teetering at 500. It wasn't like they were playing amazing. You've seen the starting pitching, which is really the highlight here, and you have Shane Bieber sitting on the precipice waiting to come back at some point here. You have a solid foundation of starting pitching. Like, you're good there. The bullpen hasn't been good. And for the love of God, you can check my social media. Outside of posting for the show, it's basically Matt Festa tweets. Because I am losing my mind. He's pitched like three times over the last five games. He's nonstop out there in critical moments. But it's because the rest of the bullpen hasn't been good. Cade Smith, right now, has not been good since coming back from injury. Hunter Gaddis has been less than himself. Paul Sewald was injured and now slightly back. Everything that you've done to try to bolster this bullpen, like Tim Herron's in Columbus, it's not good. You're in a difficult spot where the bullpen is not held up. You don't have elite places. I agree with Nelson heavily is that I know what this team is. I've learned what this team was over the last 80 or so games. And they've continued to prove it. Whether or not they play baseball well from here on out, I don't think this team has it in them to flip the switch. Let's go back into the phones. Braden is in Cleveland. What's going on, Braden?
Yeah, I just don't understand what you're talking about. So you'd rather trade Carlos Santana and Lane for what do you think are going to give you a grade A prospect? I don't understand what you're saying here. So don't go for the playoffs. Break it down. Trade Carlos Santana for a top five prospect. Also, they're not going to call up their prospects, CJ, Travis, and so on, because they'll lose service time then. They're not going to do that till September either way, no matter if they're winning, losing. Jesus Christ, I don't even know how you're on the radio.
Well,
shows you they put anybody on in Cleveland.
Is that what it is, Brenton? Is that what it is? Because I think I'm looking at a team.
And we're playing
I never said I want this team to lose.
We're playing four games in Chicago, not three.
I mean,
do show prep.
Did I say three games against Chicago? I don't even recall saying three games. I don't think I did.
Well, you did.
That's okay. Okay. That's fine, Brenton. You can run it back. That's fine. It'll be posted on. It'll be on anywhere you find your podcast. Appreciate you tuning into the show. You can find it later. Odyssey Rewind feature. You can go Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find your content. You'll find it. Overtime with Jake Volnick. Make sure you search it up. Go listen. It's a good time if you missed anything. But I think legitimately, like, I'm not saying I want the Guardians just to blow it up. Like, that's not my goal. I'm not saying we're in this, and Jax, correct me if I'm wrong. Did I say that I want them to go and trade everything away at any point in this segment?
No.
I said what I think the Guardians are going to do. And that this team is smoke and mirrors. And I don't think this is going to be a good baseball team. I gave you my thoughts. I never even threw out the idea of what I want them to do at the deadline. I told you what I think the Guardians are going to do, which is assess this team and say you played bad teams in baseball. We're still a bad team and they're going to sell. Which I think is what we're setting up for. We're setting up for fans to be upset. That's what we're walking into. Because you're going to watch them play good, quote unquote, good baseball over the next 3 weeks. And then they're still going to do the exact same thing. Do I think it's the wrong decision? I don't know, because I don't think this team's very good. They can't hit the baseball. And if it does come down to, hey, we're really going to go for it, well, if you really think you have a shot, I'm never going to argue with the Guardians going and buying at the deadline. I'm all in for it. If you want to reset this process and say, all right, well, we'll call up, you know, Kayfist, Lauder, Brito, everybody else later on here, sure. I'm not going to argue with you. If I don't see Kayfist until next year and it earns me a playoff spot, well, you made it to the playoffs. Congrats. You're not winning a World Series. I don't really know what it was all for. But sure, get me into the playoffs. Let me have a fun, enjoyable season. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I think they know what they have in front of them. They have a young team who can't hit the ball very well. That's the reality of everything that we've seen so far. It has nothing to do with what I want them to do at the deadline. The Guardians are going to operate on their own time and their own decision-making. And I know how this team operates. They don't buy. Very rarely, the one time we can recall them going all in for it is like twice within the last two decades. It was 2013 by going and adding Yibaldo Jimenez. And in 2017, when they, in 2016, the combination of the 2017 leading up to offseason and at the deadline in 16, they actually made moves to bolster the team. But it was when they felt like they had a real opportunity to go for it. I don't know who's watched this team over the last 80 odd games. And actually said, wow, this looks like a team that could, hey, maybe they'll flip a switch and go win the World Series. Jonathan Rodriguez is on this roster. Jonathan Rodriguez is not a piece you can have in your lineup to win a World Series. Right? And I can say that about five different guys on the team right now, probably more. That's the reality of what we're looking at. And I think the Guardians know that better than anybody. Again, 216-474-0092. Jerry's in Euclid. What's going on, Jerry?
It's Terry.
Terry, what's going on, Terry? Sorry about that.
This is the problem. They set it up last year when they didn't go out at the deadline and they brought back Lane Thomas and that was it. That was where they set it up. My thing is, why are you going to keep trading away Kwan and all these other pieces across A and bring back prospects that you ain't going to bring up? It don't make sense to me. You know, you done brought prospects in after prospects in after prospects in. What prospects have panned out, especially hitting, what prospects have panned out? Name in one.
It hasn't been very many. Not in the last, like, a half decade.
None.
I mean,
none.
Yeah,
none
just about. I mean, Kwan is your one guy right now.
What I'm saying is you train away for prospects and you bring back guys that you ain't going to bring up. They got the guy from Tampa for, the first baseman. What is he doing?
Yeah, Manzardo for Savali. He's been roughly league average, a little less.
I'm tired of prospects not doing anything or not coming in or not even this is crazy. It don't make no sense. You had a chance. You had a team with some chemistry at least. They're going into they went to the ALCS. You traded away half the freaking infield. And you never bring in a right fielder. It just doesn't make sense. And then you got all these people coming down to the stadium now. You can't say they're not getting attendance because they are getting attendance. I remember the days when, and this was recently, when they was getting 10,000 people during that 1 o'clock game. Now they get 30,000 during the 1 o'clock, during the week. And you mean to tell me you're gonna reward the fans by breaking everything down again after you just went to the ALCS last year? Come on, man. That just does not make sense to me.
Yeah, and it's confusing, Terry, and I appreciate you making the call, man. I mean, it's truly baffling to try to go in and look at it and say, all right, well, like they didn't do anything to bolster this team. You're right. Between last season and this season, like you made sure you retained Lane Thomas, which you didn't have to sign him to a contract or anything. He was just here. You went and got Carlos Santana and two older bullpen pieces who, quite frankly, have not been good for you. They've swung and they've missed multiple years within the last five on adding free agent prospects. Or excuse me, just free agent talent in general, not prospects. They also haven't done very well with that, but just free agent talent in general. They haven't done anything. They haven't gotten you to a point where you feel good about this team. And yeah, they do. Like the Guardians have done a good job to put together a good experience on the field over the past couple of years, right? Like six playoff appearances in nine seasons. It's incredible. Like the way that they operate has been very good, and that's why the attendance is there. And they put together a good product like off the field in terms of entertainment and everything else. And they draw in the younger crowd, which gets you to that 20,000, 30,000 number that they're actually drawing in. They've done a good job. But eventually, when the product's not there, that's going to tailor off. Like, people aren't going to go want to watch a bad baseball team. Even if the entertainment's great, you're going to lose some amount of those fans that are actually going in and wanting to watch you on a regular basis. You'll lose those people. And they will. They'll see that if... You know, going through and selling is something they actually decide to do. It is a mind-boggling process. I don't understand it, but that's what they decided to do. And I didn't have a problem with necessarily moving off of who they moved off of, but you didn't do anything to actually add back to it, and that's where you get this result. Again, let's get one more call in here. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening, Jake. How you doing?
You're doing pretty good. How about you, man?
I'm hanging in there. You know, listen to the last two callers, and I'm kind of curious who these guys are watching, because the problem with this, the first caller doesn't understand. The only thing he said that made any sense is about the service time. Other than that, he's just lost. You know, Quan is gone in 2 years. We're not going to get him back. Pay attention, guy. He is already not going to take a hometown discount, so he's gone. So what? Wait until we're a year before he's going to go and we're in the bad next year and get less for him? So there's a second caller about trading prospects. And not, or trading away for product. This guy didn't get it either. Look, the guys that we traded away weren't going to be coming back, and we weren't going to be paying for it. Talk about the ownership. Talk about the way they chose to do that this year. They chose it. It ain't about you deciding to go. That's the right thing. There's eight teams ahead of us in the playoff race for the wild card, guys, and we haven't hit the ball all season. You two callers aren't paying any darn attention because it ain't going to start changing because when you got – five guys in your lineup that can't hit the ball for squat, it doesn't matter who you bring up. It doesn't matter. It's not enough. So you get the best you can for what you got. You reload because you're Cleveland. We're not Los Angeles. We're not New York. We don't have all the money. You guys just don't get it. Sorry, Jake. Have a great evening, bud.
No, I appreciate the call, Mike, and you make some really good points. I mean, there's an aspect to both of it. Like, yes, I think ownership could absolutely do more. That's always low-hanging fruit. That's always something that's going to be there to talk about. It's why I don't bring it up in every single conversation, right? Because it's right there in front of us. We know what it is. You know what's in front of you. You know exactly what you're provided every single season. But yeah, you can't compete with New York's and LA's in terms of spending money. And I think to the point that Mike was making, like, if you ask me, should they trade away Stephen Kwan? Of course, I don't want Kwan to be gone. But if Kwan's not going to sign an extension, would you rather have him walk or would you rather have something actually back for him? That's something that's going to be decided internally. If they trade away Kwan, I'm not going to be the person up in arms and telling you, oh, how could they possibly do this? I'm going to assume it's because they had a conversation with Kwan and they said, hey, you know, here's about what we're going to be able to offer you. Are you going to be able to sign it? We're offering it to you right now. And he's going to go, I don't want to sign that right now and I can't guarantee you I'm going to sign it later. And go, okay, well, then I can't guarantee you to be a Cleveland Guardian. Right? Like, and that's unfortunately the way it has to be. You'd like to see the Guardians actually go out and make effective signings, bring guys up, develop talent. That's the way that they stay good. That's the way that this team produces. Like, Andre Jimenez, while he wasn't completely in our system, was a guy that they brought up and performed well. Same with Josh Naylor. Wasn't a guy that you drafted, but you traded for him, brought him up, and he played well. That's where they get their talent from, and they have to utilize it in a small window to actually make it effective. And unfortunately, they're not doing that right now. The guys that they have brought up, the guys that are here, are not producing, and that's when you get seasons like this, and that's when you have conversations about Clase and conversations about Kwan. It's where you get to this point. Again, 216-474-0092. Do you guys actually think the Guardians can change their fate from here leading up to the trade deadline where, you know, maybe this ownership group and looking at Chris Antonetti and everybody else, they make the decision, we can go for it, we can buy, or is everything that we're about to watch against bad teams in baseball all going to be smoke and mirrors and they're going to sell anyway? Again, 216-474-0092. We'll get to any more of your guys' calls here as well. The Station Buzz in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. If you guys want to chime in on the last conversation, we're going to get to the Station Buzz probably coming up here at about 8 o'clock. But
at Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I mean, listen, overall, I don't understand anybody who's watching this team play right now, even over the course of, okay, you swept the Astros. You played three good games following 10 absolutely abysmal, terrible games of baseball. Doesn't really get you anywhere. Like, I'm not going to assess this team off three games. I'm not even going to assess them off of 3 weeks coming up here. And our social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Paul chimed in on X and said the next 20 games are against the teams with losing records. If they go 15-5 or better, then yes, as in you can go and you compete, they can change their fate. They do have a chance, but if not, then no, they don't. I think that's an okay way to look at it. Like, there is a world where if they play well enough, like if they go through and they were to, yeah, go, I mean, as Paul lays out, like 15-5, and they played good baseball throughout that entire the entire stretch, and you saw the progression of like, hey, Angel's just sort of figured it out, and they got out of this slump, and you went through and you looked at it, and you said, okay, well, Kyle Manzardo has turned into a good hitter, and we're going to have space, like even if we unload somebody like Carlos Santana, we can call up CJ Kafis, or we unload a Lane Thomas, and we can call up Chase DeLauder. Like, yeah, it might be worth it, even to add those things in. I just don't think that there's a way that they're buyers, I guess is the way that I would put it here. Can you stop them from selling? I truthfully don't know. I don't even know that 15-5 does it, but I think it would definitely lead to, hey, this team really does have a chance. But I don't think there's a way that you get the buyers. I don't think that there's a way that this team goes, hey, this middle infield has been absolutely terrible, to be quite frank and quite honest and honestly probably pretty nice about it. Yeah, do we actually want to move off of Will Wilson? Do we actually want to stop playing? I mean, Daniel Steenman probably more than he has to, and he's been one of the more solid players for you. And were we going to add a middle infielder? Are we going to add a bullpen piece to actually make this team better? No, I think they'd probably subtract and still hope for the best. And that might still include keeping some guys on the roster who maybe they could have moved off of. Maybe that includes, you know, not trading away a guy like Emmanuel Clase. And making sure that you do hang on to Kwan because you feel like you do have a time to compete here, an actual chance. I just think realistically, like, are they going to go 15-5? I don't know. I don't know that I've seen good enough baseball out of them to maintain that strong of a 20-game stretch even against bad teams. And they've been good against bad teams this year. Aside from the terrible stretch they went on, I mean, they were playing like well above 500 against bad baseball teams this year, teams that were below 500. But are you going to continue that stretch? Are you going to show me enough? Because you have to show me you're going to be in the fight, and you have to show me you're going to be able to hit the baseball consistently. And that, hey, if it is go down and get the Lauder, that he is a piece that is going to help this team make a, you know, sort of step over the hump instead of just being a team that is, well, you know, you call up the Lauder and he can't fix all your offensive problems. If you get 6 to 7 hitters being semi-consistent and it's like, hey, you just get the 8th or the 9th guy, or you get the 7th or the 8th guy, whatever that may be, okay. Like, even if you have 6 to 7 hitters who are consistent in your lineup and you have 2 black holes, that's a team that can be competitive in the playoffs, and you hope that you can find somebody over the course of the back half of the year to get consistent. But right now you have 3, 4. I mean, 4 would be really generous. I think you legitimately have 3 guys who you can semi-count on. You got a lot of work to prove in about 20 games. It's a real tough thing to do. Again, 216-474-0092. Tom is in Twinsburg. What's going on, Tom?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate you making it, man. What's going on?
Good. I think we need to put this team in perspective, the Guardians. Yesterday, we had 5 starters that the best batting average of those 5 starters was 188. When was the last time that happened? In July on a Major League Baseball team? 188.
I don't have the answer for you, but I can't imagine on teams that are looking to compete, it's all that recent.
I mean, I think it's pathetic. I think what they needed to do, Trey Class A, Trey Santana, Trey Kwan, and the one thing that really bugs me about them, quit platooning so much. They platoon more than any team in the major leagues. These guys are afraid to make a mistake at the plate because they're not going to play tomorrow. I think Vogt overmanages. I don't know if he's getting direction from the front office on this platoon system, but it's got to stop. No other teams in the major leagues platoon as much as we do.
And Tom, the thing about it too, and I appreciate the call, the thing about the platoon side of it is really more so, like, I think platooning still works in baseball. It's still a beautiful thing. Like, if you have the correct makeup, platooning's incredible. Like, if you have 2 guys who are just solid baseball players but can only hit one side of a pitcher throwing the baseball and you play that at 1 to 2 positions, platooning's great. Like, Daniel Schneeman is truly a decent platoon player. Like, he can hit righties fairly well, and he just can't touch lefties. His approach against lefties is awful. The problem is, he's like the one guy that I look at, and I'm like, oh, it's an okay platoon player. You just have players who just aren't hitting and aren't very good at the plate, period, and you're platooning bad for bad. It's like, you might hit lefties better, you just don't hit well. Like, if I'm out there throwing out Austin Hedges, and I understand that's not the main platoon position here, but like, if that's part of your, oh, let's throw Austin Hedges out there against the lefty, that's bad. If it's, I mean, for the most part of what we've seen this year, hey, there's a lefty on the mound, let's play David Fry, that's not good. Like, David Fry's not good enough. When John Kenzie Noel and Jonathan Rodriguez are going up against lefties, you're like, my God. Guys, it doesn't matter if they're facing righties or lefties, they're just bad. So I think when you platoon, when you have the right lineup, it works. When you have a bunch of young guys who are still trying to find themselves at the plate, it's far, far less competitive. And I agree with you. Like, the platooning does have to stop. It's bad. But I think that's the difficult part that they're in right now is, okay, well, we don't really have answers. Like, that's when we talk about a vote working with, like, expired ingredients. He can't really make much out of what he has. He's just trying his best out there. But I would agree with you. Just throwing out a more consistent lineup would probably help this team in the long run. When it comes to trading Class A and Kwan, again, like I sort of touched on it. If you don't think you're going to be a competitive baseball team, and this is a true thing, they have to go through and assess, are we actually going to be able to be competitive? And it's a hard decision to make. They're going to have to legitimately assess their roster honestly and think about that. If they don't think they have a chance to truly compete, a closer in baseball does nothing for you. A closer helps you win baseball games at the end of them when you're already winning. We saw over a 10-game losing streak, that Class A was not very helpful. Like, okay, it's great that you have one of the best closers in baseball. If he doesn't get to go on the mound in save situations, then there's no point in having him. Like, he's not serving you any good. And honestly, the contract's the only thing that makes it hard to trade Class A. I mean, it makes it really easy to be picked up and make it a really easy sell to get prospects back. But, I mean, you're paying him like $5 million, $7 million, and up to 10 over the next couple of years following. Hey, that is on the cheap. Like, you're basically paying Paul Sewald what you're paying Emmanuel Clase. Yeah, Paul Sewald is nowhere near, at this point in his career, as good as Clase is, and at any point in his career, really. But Paul used to be good, but you have to pay money for him because that's an established veteran who's already been paid, who knows what his worth is. Clase took a contract while he was young, supporting his family, wanting to bring home money to start his career, be able to send it back, and that's the reality of the situation. You have a very good contract for Clase. You have Kwan on the very cheap. It's about retention. Like, Clase can be retained. Kwan cannot if he's not willing to take the contract you put in front of him. That's what's so hard about it. So, again, I think they're in a spot right now where you look at this team and you say, all right, are you going to be able to do anything? And if Antonetti decides maybe we can make the playoffs, but I truthfully don't think there's a way that we get past almost any other team that makes it in the AL and we can't even make a run to an ALDS, let alone a CS or a World Series. Okay, well, slipping into the playoffs, it's great for us as a fan. We want that. But you have to go through and build this team in the way that it best benefits you for this year and moving forward. A playoff appearance really doesn't get you far if you don't think you can win it. And right now, I just don't see how this team can. So if they want to buy at the deadline, I'm all for it. Give me entertaining baseball. I ultimately don't think that's the conclusion they come to. 216-474-0092. We're going to get to the station buzz, the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. Coming up here at 8 o'clock on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.